I ask you to open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, we have a record of humanity from the time of Adam to the time of Noah. And one of the most beautiful biographies, some might even refer to it as an epitaph, but one of the most beautiful biographies that is contained in Scripture or in all of the records of humanity, I would suggest, is found for us in this text in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And it references a man by the name of Enoch. And it says here that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he had begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now this is a beautiful statement by Scripture. And it's especially powerful in the context in which it is found. And I hope to show that a little bit later. But I want you to consider the thought of walking with God tonight and how important it is for us to walk with God. You know, walking with God is a statement of a lifestyle. It is not a one-time act that is being referenced here. In fact, this reference is to 365 years of walking with God. Enoch did not follow some kind of empty ritual in regards to his walk with God. It was a very personal walk with God. It wasn't a few minutes of devotion here and there whenever I can work it in. It was every day there was the concept in the mind of Enoch that God exists, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. It was a daily activity. So it was a lifestyle. It was not a fad with reference to Enoch. Not everybody else was doing it. In fact, if you look at the context, and I'm going to reference that maybe a couple times before we actually get there, but the context shows us that it was not the norm or the fad of the day. So walking with God first, I would like to suggest to you, is a lifestyle mentality. There are many times in which the New Testament references our walking with God. And it's not talking about a particular act. It's talking about a whole lifetime experience. When you choose to obey the gospel, you do not just perform a one-time act in baptism. Baptism is the process by which the old man dies and the new man arises. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, and 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. There is a new man that arises out of that grave, and that new man then begins his walk with God. But I would like to suggest to you as well that walking with God is a daily routine. Now you might be saying, wait a minute, isn't that what we're talking about? No, no, no. When you consider all that Enoch did, the totality, then you have the epitaph that he walked with God. But I'm talking about every decision, every hour of every day, that walking with God was a part of the journey that he took on his daily routines. That when Enoch went to work, he understood that God was the creator of man's breath and strength. This is what walking with God does. God was Enoch's guide and constant companion is the ideal. It wasn't like the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. They are the opposite, by the way, of Enoch. Enoch walked with God and the Laodiceans were puked out of them being in Christ. Why? Because sometimes they were hot, sometimes they were cold. You see, they were on spot. They were right where they needed to be sometimes. And then other times you couldn't find them anywhere. That is what the Laodiceans were guilty of. That's why Jesus says, I can't handle individuals that are off and on. I can't handle individuals. I can't stomach people that are not consistent in their faith. I can't stomach the idea of being hot and cold. I want people who can walk with me. And that included his family. You'll notice Enoch had family. He had a wife. He had children. Even though most of the children aren't mentioned and his wife is not given by name. But we know that he had them and they did not distract him from his walk with God. I don't know what kind of baseball game was going on in Enoch's time. I don't know what was going on in the society in which Enoch lived that called people out of their duty and service and devotion to God. But I know Enoch didn't go. And he didn't go because he was walking with God. You see, walking with God to Enoch was a lifetime adventure. And that's what it ought to be with us. So Enoch walked with God all the way to the end. And I referenced the context a couple of times. I want you to notice the context in Genesis chapter 5. And let's begin in verse number 5. All the days of Adam lived were 930 years. By the way, if you'll notice this, Enoch didn't live very long during his span of time. 365 years wasn't a really long time. In fact, the closest thing to him is Lamech, who is going to be his grandson, and he's going to live 777 years. That's the closest one to him. Adam is going to live 930 years, but I want you to notice this phrase, and he died. Verse number 8, Seth, 912 years, and he died. Verse number 11, Enos, not Enoch, but Enos, lived 905 years and he died. Cainan, 910 years and he died. And it goes on and on. All throughout the context, every man is dying. The one thing you do not find in reference to Enoch, he did not die. Now this is astounding. Everybody dies. Except those whom God choose not to die. And one of those was this man, Enoch. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 55, we are met head on with death and the grave. And death has a sting to it, does it not? Death, the grave has a victory to it, Paul wrote. The grave had no victory over Enoch. Death had no sting in his regard because he did not die. The Bible simply says, and God took him. God grabbed him out of all of death and took him with him. What a wonderful life. And the testimony of God is upon Enoch in the fact that he did not die. So I hope that we can make a determination today that our lifestyle, that our every decision that we make on a daily routine basis, and that we would do it all the way to the end, that nothing would stop us from our walk with God. And that we would do that so that we could spend an eternity. Not just with Enoch, but with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now that means, by the way, Ephesians is a book about walking with God. You want to know how to walk with God? Pick up the book of Ephesians and read it sometime. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, we were created for that very purpose. What purpose? to walk in good works. That's why we are here. You ever want to know why you're here? People ask that question all the time. Why are we here? What does God have in mind for me? Let me tell you what God has in mind for you. For you to walk in good works. That's why He created us in Christ. We're not to walk in vanity and the vanity of our mind like the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. We are to walk in light. We are light bearers. We are light reflectors. And we walk with light surrounding us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. And by the way, he says that's our vocation. Our vocation is to walk in, or to walk worthy of God. And in order to do that, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 and 2 says that we have to walk in love. See, if we're going to follow and imitate God like Enoch did, then we got to walk in love. But it's not just any kind of love. It's not a mushy-mushy kind of love. It's not a love that's on and off. You ever met these people that you talk to the one of the spouses and the first day you talk to them and, man, they're just in love with one another. The next day they hate one another. 3 days later they love one another. 6 days later they hate one another, can't stand one another, seeking a divorce lawyer. I mean, they're on and off and on and off. That's kind of like some of those people dating back in the day. Of course, I ain't done that in 50, well, maybe not 50 years, but pretty close. But you know, they were on and off, and that's the way some people are. That's not that kind of love. This is a love that walks in the light of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and we'll close our lesson for tonight. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Now, notice the explanation. Walk in love as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let me ask you this. Could your walk with God be described as a sweet-smelling savor? Is that the way that your life is, as a blessing to other people? That when they see you coming, they want to be a part of what you're doing rather than turning and running? Listen, some of us, they'd rather run away than stay with. May suggest that we're not so sweet in our smelling. Some of y'all or some of us may smell bad at times. And we smell bad because of our works. We smell bad sometimes because we have sin. And sin stinks. But the great thing about God is He doesn't want you to stink anymore. God wants you to smell good. And so He has provided Jesus Christ on a cross so that you could smell better, so that you could look better, so that you could be better. And so tonight, the invitation song is chosen for those of us who are members of the body of Christ, who may be getting a little ripe around the edges because of sin. The Bible tells us how to get rid of that. It's through prayer and repentance, Acts 8 and verse number 22, and through confession of sin, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. That's what the child of God must do in order to smell sweet. But if you're not a child of God and you want to obey the gospel tonight, the plan of salvation is as clear in every sermon ever preached in the book of Acts. If you will hear the precious message that God cared enough to send His Son to be brutalized by humanity for you, if you will believe that, repent of all of your past sins, confessing the sweet name of Jesus, and be buried tonight in the watery grave of baptism, God will wash all your sins away, and you will smell sweet. So if we can assist you in that, please come as together we stand and sing.
I must eat alone.